Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast for March 12th, 2024, sponsored by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I am Seth, and I am solo today. My co-host Carly is unavailable, but I am here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in my own life. And I wish Carly was here because we were both off in California this past week, and I would love to hear about her trip. We passed each other, like we said, like ships in the night, did not get to see each other. But I had a great few days at the Disneyland Resort. Shout out to the Anaheim Hotel there that hooked me up with a great rate. And first time that I have stayed in the Anaheim Hotel, which is right across from Disneyland, in many years. They've done very, very thorough refurbishments since my last visit. Greatly, greatly improved. Great spot if you are looking for a good value in the Disneyland area. I also got to spend some time in Super Nintendo World and the rest of Universal Studios Hollywood. But the best part of my trip was I got to spend a few hours at Luna Luna Forgotten Fantasy, which, if you haven't heard of it, Google it. It is a theme park art project built back in the 80s with some of the most famous artists of the day. Keith Haring, Basquiat, Salvador Dali all contributed theme park attractions to this fair that was held in Germany for just a few months. And then it was all boxed up, put in storage containers, and forgotten about for decades and decades until it was recently unearthed and restored. It's all on display right now in Los Angeles. It's going to right now scheduled to run into April. If you get a chance to see it, it is amazing. You can't ride on the rides, but they do have them activated with lights and sound and movement. And there are live performers and great exhibits on the whole history of the exhibit. I was blown away. I spent 2 hours there and could have easily spent more time. So if you get a chance to check out Luna Luna, please do take advantage of that. All right. Well, I'm sure if Carly was here, we would go on and on about both of our trips, but maybe we'll save that for next time. Instead, we are going to jump straight into the news in the queue. All right, we're going to start this week's news in the queue at the Disney parks, at three Disney parks, actually, Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and the International Disney Parks as well, that have Star Tours. The adventures continue, are going to be getting an upgrade beginning on April 5th. Characters from Andor, Ahsoka, and The Mandalorian are all joining the Star Wars simulator rides found globally. Guests will be getting urgent transmissions from Andor Cassian from the series Andor and from Rogue One. Ahsoka Tano from the Clone Wars and the Ahsoka series. And, of course, Din Djarin, The Mandalorian, and Grogu, a.k.a. the child, a.k.a. Baby Yoda. This is the first time these four characters will be making appearances in a Disney theme park ride, although walk-around versions of some of them have been seen inside the parks. And as I was mentioning, this is happening in Disneyland Park in California, Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida, and the third park is Disneyland Paris. They have not yet specifically confirmed this change for Tokyo Disneyland, at least not yet. If you are not already familiar with Star Tours, I guess you've been living inside an asteroid, inside a giant space worm for all these years. But Star Tours, the adventures continue, and we'll now have over 250 possible combinations, because each time you ride, you get a different sequence of planets to visit and characters to encounter. And speaking of planets to visit, we know at least one new planet, Peridia from Ahsoka, is going to be added to the attractions lineup. They have posted a brief video of that, of you flying around giant space whales, as seen in the end of the Ahsoka series. So they teased these destinations last spring. They announced Ahsoka. Today they have announced the rest of, or most recently they have announced the rest of the characters. And we will get to see them all on the ride when that starts on April 5th, 2024. Interesting to note, it does seem that Diego Luna and Rosario Dawson are going to be reprising their roles. We don't know if Pedro Pascal is actually playing the Mandalorian, because he's got a helmet on, and to be honest, through a lot of the filming of The Mandalorian, Pedro Pascal was busy filming The Last of Us and was not actually in the show, even though he's credited. He has a body double and records his dialogue afterwards. So that's a secret that I guess we're not supposed to know, maybe. I'm not sure. Anyway, this is all coinciding with Disneyland's launch of Season of the Force, which is going to run April 5th through June 2nd. So in addition to getting to experience the new additions to Star Tours during that time, you'll also be able to hear Star Wars music inside Galaxy's Edge during the fireworks show, as well as ride Hyperspace Mountain. Okay. Next up, more Disney news. This is for those of you who enjoy doing sit-down dining while visiting the Disney resorts at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. It will now be easier to find those coveted dining reservations, those ADR spots, because now you will be able to search inside Disney's app up to a 10-day stretch. Previously, if you wanted to find a reservation at one of those hard-to-find sit-down restaurants, you would have to search day by day by day for throughout your vacation. Now, they're going to make it easier through a recent update to the My Disney Experience apps. You can book a reservation by selecting a 10-day stretch, and it will find any time slots that are available across those days. So that should definitely make things a little easier when you are trying to track down some of those coveted locations, such as Goofy's Kitchen at the Disneyland Hotel. Also, this is not a new change, but this is something that was made last year. Dining reservations now can be changed or canceled up to 2 hours before your reservation at most Disney World and Disneyland resorts. Back in the day, there was a 24-hour cancellation period, but that has been reduced to just 2 hours. So between these two, hopefully it will make it a little easier to get those hard-to-find table spots when you're dining at Disneyland or Walt Disney World. Now, for something completely different, we're heading from Disney to Universal. Circus McGurkus Cafe at Universal Orlando has reopened after a very long refurbishment, and it's got a new menu, a fresh new look, and it's got a new style of operation. We'll start with that fresh new look. It's still a circus. It's still the same circus-themed Dr. Seuss restaurant that's got that high in the sky Seuss. Why I can say that? High in the sky Seuss trolley train riding around the perimeter, and the circus characters up in the air. I got some fresh coat of paint and cleaned up a little, but the biggest change to the look is that it no longer has the cafeteria line, the open kitchen with the serving line where you would pick up your food. That has all been sealed off. They've put in some new bench seats and tables there. And instead, they are now using a direct-to-table mobile order system, very similar to what you see at the Minion Cafe over in Universal Studios, Florida. The big change is really in the menu. Previously, the reason to go to Circus McGurkus was for fried chicken or for spaghetti. They've had a whole overhaul of the menu. One of the few things that is a holdover is, I think, what's the best thing on the menu. And that is the roast beast sandwich. This is a meatloaf and brisket sandwich piled high on a pretzel roll that was previously available during the Grinchmas season. It was a seasonal item. You can now get that year round. And if you're going to eat something there, that is definitely what I recommend. Some of the other things that I have tried here, I have not enjoyed quite as much. I was really looking forward to the tuna poke bowl because I love a good tuna poke. Especially loved the bowl with the noodles that they have in Satuli Canteen over in Animal Kingdom's Pandora. Well, I thought this might be like that. It's got some blue glass noodles and raw tuna, but the combination of flavors and textures just did not work for me. And so that was a disappointment. There is a popcorn cupcake that is basically a very plain, yellow cake and buttercream cupcake with some caramel corn dropped on top. A fizzy signature drink that did not appeal to me. I'm working my way through the menu. I haven't found anything that I really loved yet. So far, I just really miss the old fried chicken. I think next time I'm going to try the popcorn shrimp box. So maybe that will be better. You can see some pictures I've taken of the food that I did have up on our website at attractionsmagazine.com. And if you have checked out this restaurant, let us know what you think. Also, in addition to Circus McGurkus, it's worth mentioning that over at the other park at Universal Orlando, at the studios, Mel's Drive-In also reopened. Not as radical a shakeup of their menu. Mel's still serves old-fashioned burgers and fries and onion rings and milkshakes. They've overhauled the kitchen. They've tweaked some menu items. I would say over there, the best new thing by far is the vegan chili. Their vegan chili is even tastier than their meat chili, and you can get it on top of chili fries or a chili vegan field dog. And that is what I would recommend. I think that's one of the better plant-based options that they have at quick service in that park now. Check that out. Okay. Next up, we're heading over to SeaWorld San Antonio, where Catapult Falls, the world's first launched flume coaster, is now open. And this is a little unique because it features North America's only vertical lift elevator. This is a first-of-a-kind flume coaster, which they say combines the thrill of a roller coaster with the splash of a water flume. And this state-of-the-art vertical elevator lifts riders 55 feet above the theme park and then lets them splash down the steepest flume drop slide in the world, hitting speeds of 37 miles per hour. This is located in on the site of the former Texas Splashdown. Guests will find some tributes to that original Splashdown attraction on the new ride. This is all part of the SeaWorld 60th anniversary celebration, which is kicking off. The first SeaWorld ever opened in San Diego, California on March 21st, 1964. And SeaWorld San Antonio is going to celebrate that with a 60th anniversary weekend, March 21st through 24th. They're having festive celebrations in the entrance plaza with characters and giveaways. They've got some new presentations and shows, including a new Cirque-style show and a new character parade. And, of course, it wouldn't be a celebration without limited edition food and beverage offerings throughout this year. It's spring break time, and they are offering a special spring break sale on tickets. You can buy a SeaWorld ticket and get an Aquatica ticket for free. That's running for a limited time, and you can get more information about that by visiting SeaWorld's website or head on over to attractionsmagazine.com. And a little bit closer to home, I was busy and I did not get to go over to check this event out, but Legoland Florida this week launched the opening of their new Build and Race attraction, which is a new Ferrari branded addition to the Legoland park. It features a life-size 296 GTS Ferrari that was built built out of over 424,000 Lego pieces, as well as three interactive zones, which let you get hands-on with Lego and Ferrari in a Lego Ferrari garage, a build and test zone, and an interactive racing zone. We have some great videos on our website and YouTube channel featuring our good friend Banks Lee, who is, of course, now over at Legoland Florida, showing off this new addition. And if you are a Ferrari fan or a car fan in general, you are going to be really inspired by this new attraction. As I mentioned, there is a full-sized Ferrari car built out of Legos. The detail on this is really fantastic inside and out. It even features working headlights, a driver's door that opens, and roaring race car worthy engine making noise. It's 15 feet long, 7.5 feet wide, 4 feet tall, and the whole thing weighs almost 2 tons. So I guess that a Lego plastic car is almost as heavy as a real car. You can set your imagination loose on the build and test zone, where you can build your own little miniature Lego Ferrari car, fine tune your design in the testing zone, and then race it through obstacles. The Lego Ferrari build and race experience is now open at Legoland Florida, and you can find some great videos featuring our old friend Banks Lee showing off all of the new features. Those are available on our website, attractionsmagazine.com, as well as on our YouTube channel. This is the latest interactive experience at Legoland Florida. And there are also Lego Ferrari build and race experiences at Legoland California, Legoland Billund, and Legoland Windsor Resorts. Okay, now we are hopping on over to Las Vegas, and I am very jealous of our good friend Greg Dow out there because he got to attend opening day of SpongeBob's Crazy Carnival Ride, which is now open at the Circus Resort in Las Vegas. Yes, Nautical Nonsense has arrived in Sin City as of March 1st, the new interactive dark ride built by Sally. It combines physical sets and animatronics with screen-based media. We got to get a preview of the animatronic Carnival Barker for this ride back at IAPA. And now the ride is open in Las Vegas. Greg got to check it out. We have some great video and photos on our website and our YouTube. This ride allows up to five people at a time with interactive devices to play along with SpongeBob, Patrick, and the gang at Mr. Krabs New Carnival. But watch out, because Plankton is here to steal those Krabby Patty ingredients. So you've got to defend against him. The game looks sort of similar to kind of a Toy Story Midway Mania, but of course using the characters from SpongeBob. And it's got, like we said, a mix of physical sets, projections, and animatronics. The ride is fairly long. It lasts about 6 minutes. It's got 15 scenes and six animatronics. And this is actually not included in the ticket for the Adventure Dome, which is the indoor theme park there at Circus Circus. Adventure Dome is located right across the hallway from this attraction. It is, so it's a separate price. It looks like they had an initial price of $20 per ride or $30 for two riders. And you have to pay per ride, not per day. So it's a separately ticketed attraction. Riders must be at least 4 years old and 36 inches. They don't have an online purchase option quite yet. They have ticketing kiosks at the attraction. But you can keep checking the Circus Circus website at circuscircus.com to see if they make advance tickets available. This is, of course, not the first ever SpongeBob attraction. They're calling it the first SpongeBob dark ride. There was a SpongeBob appearance in the Jimmy Neutron Nicktoon Blast simulator ride that we used to have at Universal Studios Florida, as well as a SpongeBob 3D simulator that was found in the Paramount Parks back in the 2000s. You can also find more SpongeBob attractions at Nickelodeon Universe. That's the indoor theme parks found at the big malls in Bloomington, Minnesota, and East Rutherford, New Jersey. All right. That is going to wrap up our news in the queue for this episode. Before we jump into this week's main event, let us hear a quick word from our sponsors.
The Attractions Podcast is brought to you by MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Whether your next vacation is a magical trip to the theme parks, an exciting adventure to the pyramids of Egypt, or just a relaxing cruise on the turquoise waters of the Bahamas, MEI Travel provides premium service and expert advice to help you get the most of your vacation. They are always free of any hidden fees or costs to you. Visit them at MEI-travel.com.
It's time for the main attraction!
And for this week's main attraction, Avatar-based land has finally been confirmed, again, for the Disneyland Resort by Disney CEO Bob Iger. We had quite a while ago a tease of an Avatar experience coming somewhere to the Disneyland Resort. Now, Bob Iger, during a Q&A at the Morgan Stanley Technology, Media, and Telecom Conference, has confirmed that Avatar, or Pandora, will not just be getting an experience, but an actual land at the Disneyland Resort. Just a few more details, because honestly, there are not a ton of details in the story. Here are some quotes that Iger gave at this event. Speaking at the event, Iger said, quote, "If you look at our IP, intellectual property, the land that we have, the demand that exists in the marketplace, it's a no-brainer to invest that way," in terms of making a land. went on to say, there's currently only one Avatar-based land among Disney's 12 parks globally, and then revealed that a second quote-unquote land is coming to the Disneyland Resort, specifically using the word land to describe this project. Now, he did not say where it will be. He did not say which park, whether this will be in Disneyland, California Adventure, whether this is part of an existing park, or if it is coming to the Disneyland Forward expansion that is coming supposedly to land outside of the current theme park borders at Disneyland. But what he has said in the past is that it will be as quote-unquote amazing as Pandora, the World of Avatar, which is at Animal Kingdom theme park in Florida. You know, we can also look at some of the recent things that they have, lands that they have built elsewhere in the world. Zootopia, which opened at Shanghai Disneyland, and World of Frozen at Hong Kong Disneyland, to get an idea of the scope and scale of lands that they have been building recently. The executive, Bob Iger, also repeatedly mentioned the continued success of Moana in this call. So that might imply that Moana attractions could also be coming to the parks in the future. But the only thing we know for sure is that an Avatar land is coming at some point in the future to somewhere in the Disneyland Resort. So that is the official confirmed portion of this. Now, if we want to get into speculation and rumor, what I have heard, and I cannot tell you whether what I have heard is still what is actually happening or if it's an older plan that has been moved on from. But the most recent thing that I have heard is that Avatar will go into where the Hollywood section of Disney California Adventure is right now. Sort of as you walk into Hollywood Land off to the left, where you have the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire stages. I think they were most recently used as a superhero store. Area around Mike and Sully's Monster Incorporated dark ride, the big building that was used in the back that used to be a restaurant once upon a time that was used as an arcade when they had the Tron events. That whole back left portion of Hollywood Land is not very well utilized. And what I've heard is that that will become a smaller version of the Pandora that we have in Animal Kingdom, most likely with only one ride, not two. And I think that ride would have to be the Flight of Passage, because no one's going to get too excited over the Navi River boat ride. So that is the completely unconfirmed, maybe unreliable stories that I have heard. And we are just going to have to wait and see, I guess, what actually happens. So that is going to just about bring us to the end of this brief and strange solo show. I like it much better when Carly is here with me, and I'm sure you do too. And hopefully we'll be back together next week. Before we check out, I just want to check into some of the comments left for us by our viewers during the show. In Derek Ho's corner, Blossom and Michelangelo, thank you for always being here. And thank you, Andy Haynes, for checking in, saying hiya, as well as thank you to N. Weiser. And Andy heard my little story about Luna Luna, and he thinks he might have seen some Basquiat paintings at the Orlando Museum of Art. If you know, you know. And if you don't, you really don't want to know. yes, hopefully Carly will be back next time and we will have a much more coherent show. But until next week, we want to once again thank our sponsors, MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. I want to remind all of you, please give us a rating, give us a review wherever you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Give us a like on Facebook and subscribe to us there on YouTube. And please always follow us at attractionsmagazine.com. Search Attractions Magazine on your favorite social media platform. And find me at Eskuberski and at The Unofficial Guides on socials, where you can purchase copies of my books. And until next week, we hope you folks stay safe, try something new, but most importantly, have fun, and we will see you next time. Bye.